welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's defeat to Queen of the South, preview this weekend's trip to Alloa, and players leaving, which one disappointed you the most? Yes, you are listening to the Blue Toon Podcast, back again for another week. Coming up, all that, along with your reaction to Saturday's game. I'm Colin Byles, and with me as ever to pick the bones out of the Dunhamers game is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you this week?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. I was thinking about this game and set of it, and I was just thinking about how we're going to speak about it without it sounding like exactly what we spoke about last week, because it very much very similar in terms of, you know, we go 1-0 up and think that we're doing quite well, and then all of a sudden it, I wouldn't say it we capitulated, but it was just sort of faded it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think last week there was more positives to come out of the game than I think there was on Saturday. I think we were good for maybe the opening quarter of an hour, and then once Queen's got a foothold in the game, We struggled. I think we've got to remember it's a full time team. I've heard that a few times over the last few days as well. So disappointing, especially the home, being a home game as well. Wee bit flat, I thought, for large periods of the game. Disappointing afternoon.
I heard Willie Gibson after the game, and he was saying that the scoreline didn't flatter them. He felt as though it could have been maybe more. Are we looking at the Jack Newman again is the reason for that?
Yeah, I think he, off the top of my head just now, I think there was at least three saves that he made. And we commented on Saturday as well, but yet again, Jack Newman, he's in the right place to save the shots, but again, he's facing too many. 4-1 in the balance of play, I didn't think flattered Queens. I thought they were well worthy of their win. And I think probably, if you're Willie Gibson, you're thinking you're probably disappointed you're not scoring more than four.
Yeah, let's try and pick out some of the positives then. We'll look at Jack Wilkie. He started at left wing back. I guess it was his turn to play that position this week. And I thought he did really well in a position that I guess he's not that used to. And on the other side as well, I think Max Gillis was equally as good.
Yeah, I think the fullbacks tried that the hardest. I think he'll say Wilkie's strongest position. We mentioned that last week about the positions he's playing. I think left fullback or wing back, whatever you want to call it these days, has got to be a place he's got to play often. I thought they did okay. Marks again, he showed that in the first 5 minutes with his goal getting forward. He's an attacking sort of guy who wants to get forward, he wants to help out. The guys did okay. It was just a collective team you're just looking for a wee bit more improvement on.
And Jason was back as well, which was good to see. He was in the back three with Andy McDonald and Paul Dixon, which, if you look at on paper, I guess might be our strongest back three.
I've still got question marks over Paul Dixon. Again, he come in, he's got a vast amount of experience, he's played at a high level, but I don't know, there's just that I've seen so far. You could argue there's a few players just not quite hitting that 7s and 8 out of 10s. Just looking for a wee bit more for Paul Dixon. Whether it, I think maybe Ryan Strachan in the back line, Andy McDonald and Jason Brown, but then you lose him for midfield. I'm certainly looking for a wee bit more for the Paul Wally experience that he's got.
Would you rather play, say, David Wilson then instead of Paul Dixon at the way things are going?
At this moment in time, yes. I think if you've got Wilson, Brown and McDonald, and also that's a defender who was there last season, I think there's maybe a wee bit better understanding. Obviously, Jason and Paul, and I played that often with injuries and suspensions and whatnot. So, jury's still out for me on Paul Dixon, to be honest.
Ryan Strachan, you mentioned there, playing in that holding midfield role. I think it suited him, and it seemed to settle the team a lot as well, him being in there, and he was, for me, it was largely impressive for the first 50-60 minutes of the game.
Aye, we spoke last week, maybe like the Simon Ferry-esque role, and we thought he'd slot in there quite nicely. He did. Again, we mentioned last week about communication, his organisation skills, and I think maybe... but if it hadn't been for him there, there were certain things in the game that you felt would have been overrun in midfield. I think it's a new look midfield, as it is with the rest of the team, but especially in midfield, just not quite got where... were boots on there, so yeah, he did well. I think his communication skills will certainly help him through. Just looking for it to come on a wee bit there.
And that was, I think, because he had the young guys in front of him, Jack Brown and Robbie Scullion. I think that experience certainly helped them, and it allowed Jack to get back to his normal game in terms of being more forward thinking and attack minded.
We've said that Jack's better going forward. I don't think a defensive role in midfield is suited to the team or to him to play that role. I think him getting forward and trying to make things happen, especially when you consider with Nahum Ritchie, Andy McCarthy suffered a slight setback. It's going to be a wee while before he's back again. So you want your more creative players going forward. And I think Ryan Strachan being a defensive holding player, as you said, allows Jack to go forward, which I think is better, his better position.
Yeah, and... Ryan Dow was further forward as well, because Ryan was in there as well, and you could see he was much more comfortable further forward. So you almost had like a two up front, which seemed to help Ola a lot as well.
Yeah, I think Ryan worked his socks off, to be fair, a lot of running. The only criticism I had, if I was being pernickety, is if, you know, we'll play a ball up top, if Ola does win a header, or he's got good hold-up play, there was never really anybody to run about him. I can't focus on that Ola's nice scoring goals, and he's pretty mayor. Yes, I agree, but at the same time, if he does win the ball, he does win a header, there's nobody to run about him to give him that support. Just one thing, putting the ball into his area, but you need that guy's running around him. You need the likes of Jack Brown getting up and supporting him, Ryan Dow being a wee bit closer. I think we're starting to see a formation that Jim's wanting to play with this team. We're starting to see it maybe slowly coming together in terms of the positions, but it just needs to be a wee bit more, you know, fusion together and getting forward and supporting each other.
I did think that the opening, as I said, 15, 20 minutes seemed to be a much more settled side. You know, we seemed to be the better side out of the two teams. The balance was there as well, whereas maybe previous games it hadn't been.
Yeah, I think the balance of the team now looks better than it has been the last couple of weeks. As I said, we just need that personnel to gel a wee bit more. Again, there's, you know, comments at work, well, how long can you keep the gel? We can, it's a new team, but you start looking at the league, and I'm sure you'll probably touch on it later on, you look at the league table, there's already just a slight gap opening up with the bottom teams. And the teams that we perceive to be in competition with, you know, doing the lower end of the table. So it's difficult because you want to give the guys support. There is a mixture of a lot of young players plus some experienced players. It's just trying to get everything to come together at the right time.
As I said, you watched that opening 10 minutes. I mean, we could have really probably maybe even been a couple of goals ahead, you know, just with that, just a little bit, maybe a bit more composure in front of goal, chances being created. So, again, what we're looking for is... that kind of performances that we're getting out of 10, 15 minutes in a game, just make it kind of a bit longer, make it last for 45 minutes, for example.
The positive is we created a couple of chances within that opening quarter of an hour. I think there really been much thereafter. But that is the positive. You know, your right back's got two goals in two games. You'd think normally it's a good thing. But that's really the only positive we've got in terms of goals. So, we just need to... It's not even a case of working harder. It's just trying to fashion in chances. And, you know, we mentioned it last season, we're sort of snapping at chances or trying to play the perfect pass to get the perfect goal. Sometimes you just need a little bit of luck. And I think we're sort of scratching our heads trying to figure out, well, how can you make things better? Again, I spoke about Ryan Dow maybe being closer, Jack Brown getting further up and supporting Ola. These little things, it'll make a big difference if Jack and Ryan are 5 yards further forward. It allows Ola, you know, bring in support. We've seen the goal last week. Ola dropped deep to get the back, played the ball off, and then Max has scored the goal, you know, a couple of passes later. So there is slight signs there, there was a quarter of an hour on the game on Saturday, but thereafter, you know, I really didn't think we did that much, to be honest.
No, it was just almost kind of faded away. As I said, I don't think we played poorly as such, but I just think that once their midfield got a grip of the game, you could tell it was going to be one way traffic, especially second half. And I think what happens is Ryan Dow then has to drop a little bit deeper, maybe consciously, maybe just subconsciously, just wants to try and get in and try and help out. And as you said, if anybody does get the ball forward, Ola's maybe 20 yards further ahead than anybody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, we said it on Saturday, there's a ball, you know, towards the end, we're 3-1 at the time, but Ola's chasing a ball in the air. He's just slightly missed the flight, but even if he did win it in the knockdown, it's two Queens players running back that mop up rather than one of our players. It's maybe one of them, it's damage limitation, you can't get 3-1 down. The way we were playing, we're never going to get back into it. But again, as I said before, try and get the players closer together, it might, you know, be a wee bit more beneficial going forward.
Yeah, and I think what kind of blew everybody away was the opening goal inside about 2 minutes. I think we were expecting that. I don't think many folk in the stadium was expecting that. As you said, Max Gillis is now at 2-2. Ida with his assist in the previous game as well, so he's involved. We're heavily going forward, but it's a well taken goal as well. It was what we said last week. His one was a striker's finish, another calm and collected finish with this one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We took the lead early on, which I think maybe probably annoyed Queens, if we're being honest. You know, their form as well has been pretty patchy. So, I mean, the fact that we got an early goal, you just thought this could maybe be our fortune's turn. And as we've said a few times, that first 15 minutes we looked okay. We could have maybe hit two or three goals. But we just didn't follow that up. And as you said, the performance sort of faded away the longer the game went.
He's obviously going to get plaudits for going forward, as I said, getting his goals. But defensively as well, I think he's settled in quite well and doing well.
Yeah, I have no issues. As I said, going forward, he looks good. And then also, he's only going to get better as he plays more games. He gets a better understanding with the team. He's got a few different partners alongside him. You know, at centre-half with him playing at right-back. So, yeah, I think over the season, he'll do well. You know, if he's going to be able to chip him with a few goals and a few assists, that can't be a bad thing.
So we go 1-0 up, and then, as you said, we look to try and take control of the game. But Queens got back into it, and it was a goal for distance. I think it was going to be something special that was going to beat Jack in the kind of form that he's on. It was, again, we should credit them with the goal. It was a well-taken one from Todd for distance.
Yeah, no issues with Jack and goals. I think it's one of them you can try and pick fault with every goal you concede. Sometimes you just need to sit back and say it's a well-taken goal. I think that is one of them. You could maybe argue an equal him doing quicker or prevent the ball coming in. But yeah, on that one, you sort of just be hands up and say it's a well-taken strike from midfield.
And I wouldn't say straight away that the Heaves are going down, but you just felt that because they got back into it so quick, you feel that, as you said, maybe we did annoy them slightly, but you just felt, though, that once they had been pegged back, there wasn't that confidence to then go and take the lead again.
I think if we maybe held out another 10-15 minutes and we get that bit of confidence, I think our confidence is sort of shot as well. You know, it's been a while since we won a league game, so it is a new team, as we've mentioned before, but that can't be an excuse through the whole season. Oh, it's a new team. I'd say I got a wash in a couple of weeks' time. There needs to be a better coming together. So yeah, we maybe did annoy them, and then they've got up the park and they long left of it and scored. As you said, I think the Heaves went down. I just think they were more reluctant to take more risks in the game to try and go back 2-1 ahead, because they were, you know, mindful of conceding at the other end.
I think that comes to you know, the run that we're on, everybody's scared to maybe make that extra pass or take that extra touch, and it just feels everything's a bit rushed sometimes.
Confidence is a massive thing in football. We've mentioned that over the last couple of years. When you're winning and things are going well, you will try the one-time pass, the first-time touch and all that sort of thing. But the things aren't going so well for you. You drop 5 yards deeper and you'll take that extra minute to play a pass. You're looking for a safer option rather than a ball in the midfield. You'll go square. I think that's maybe where we're at just now. And then I think the performance wasn't great in Sunday, but I think if we took a couple more risks, it's that risk and reward. You balance it up. And at the moment, the confidence just maybe at its highest. I think that's what we're just seeing at the moment.
Second goal for them, coming from a free kick. Ryan Dow will be questioning who was picking somebody up at the edge of the box. Because quite, I wouldn't say comically, but it happened right in front of us, and you could see Ryan was screaming for somebody just to go to the edge of the box. And this is maybe where it comes from, the defensive side of things, or the lack of confidence. Nobody could really see what was maybe going to happen before them.
This is probably my biggest gripe of the game. I can, you know, sit here and play these goals, but when you concede for a set piece, it's always more disappointing. But surely with the experienced guys that we've got in the team, Ryan is also a point to do, but nobody's done anything about it. It's happened so quick. But why was that allowed to happen in the first place?
Yeah. Surely, this
is the sort of things that's picked up at the training. You go, right, that, you know, you'll identify this. Why was everybody in the box? Say that it was blocked in the wall with no outlet. It comes straight back because there's somebody there. That's my biggest gripe. It's been realised, but it's too late. Surely the first time, you know, that should be dealt with first time. You identify over the week in training, even on the Saturday, right, this is their team, this is who you're picking up the corners, this is what their set pieces are like. That's my biggest gripe over it, is when I identified it early enough.
It's a worrying part on this conceding from free kicks and set pieces and corners, etc. It's another free kick, it's another set piece, and we've conceded from it.
It's annoying, but over the years, our biggest gripe with set pieces has normally been the attacking sense, and the deliveries have been poor and cut out the first man, or they've just been absolutely woeful. Defending set pieces over the last couple of years, when I've been that bad with it, to be fair. It's frustrating that these sort of things are creeping in, but as we've mentioned, when confidence is low, these are the things that go against you. If you're winning, confidence is high. That's the sort of thing that, you know, the player's there, he takes a shot and it goes over the bar. But on this occasion, obviously, went to the back of the net.
So it was 2-1. We went in at half time, and you were kind of thinking, so we're still in the game, if you like. But Jason Brown came off quite early on in the second half, so it's possibly to do with his concussion, obviously. We want to look after that. Then Ryan Strachan moved into the back three. Now, I just felt that once he moved into that midfield role, the holes and the gaps were suddenly becoming a bit more frequent.
Yeah, you said on Saturday, once he went back there by in the centre defence, we looked okay for 5 minutes after, but then Queens gave him Mero a foothold in the game and everything good was going through the midfield. They'd identified that as a weaker area of ours. This is no slant either. I think when Prince came on, I'll say, okay, now he's carrying an injury. He's a young lad. It's his first game. There's no criticism of it, but I think when you've got him and the young lad scullion as well, just Queens identified that was a problem area for us, and they took full advantage of it.
Yeah, I think by that kind of stage, we had Prince with Jack Brown and Ewan Murray had come on in midfield as well. So, you know, suddenly you've got really young guys and really small guys as well.
Yeah.
It's in that midfield, and I guess the Queens midfielders must have been sort of rubbing their hands thinking, this is negative, a cakewalk, but it's certainly going to be much easier than it would have been had Ryan Strachan still been in that midfield role.
Yeah, I mean, we've said we've lost only key players. You think, you know, obviously the players that we've lost and the players that are injured, did you put any of them in the midfield, you stand a better chance. Like I said, that's nice one on the players that were there. Queens just identified it was a problem area for us, and they took advantage of it.
The third goal was a ball over the top. It was missed by Ryan Strachan, as we were praising him playing him so well. Just a simple ball over the top really was we're undoing.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's just a simple ball over the top, but it's one of them things you can pick holes in it all day long. We just kind of dealt with it, and obviously things have finished for us, and going 3-1, and at that point they look good for the 3-1 lead.
Yeah, and then obviously the fourth goes in, a wonderful free kick right at the end, like virtually the last kick of the bar as well.
Yeah, last kick of the game, free kick, we were right behind it as well, just as we were leaving. Terrific effort, and as I said at the start, 4-1 didn't really flatter them. I thought they were worthy of it. Probably could have a couple more if it wasn't for John Newman. A tough one to take, but it doesn't sound like in the last 20 minutes there's been many positives of it, but I guess if you were trying to pick a part of the game, there's maybe one or two positives, but it's just the frustration that Queens have sort of dominated us pretty much for the 15th minute onwards.
Yeah, I think there's, as you said, there's much more to look back on in these last two games. I know we've conceded 7 goals, only scored 2, but there are a lot more that we can sort of pick a bones out and say, well, that was better than it was settling it during the League Cup campaign, because obviously that was just a non-starter for us. But he's obviously now getting a squad together, he's getting numbers in, and it seems to be quality as well.
Yeah, I mean, why was Kent the team that played against Aberdeen and Raith, wouldn't it be the final team? So he's got a few players in. He's identified areas that he's wanting to strengthen. I still think that we're needing a striker. Again, he's mentioned in the media today that he's looking for a striker and a defensive midfielder, which I probably agree with him. We can't get him, which he's going to be out for a long time. So again, another midfielder wouldn't go amiss. Somebody to help Ola. We can't trust he's going to be out for a wee while yet. The players coming in is good, but again, they're going to take a while to settle down, settle in. And unfortunately, it's a league that's very unforgiving at the moment.
Mm. 4 shots, 4 on target for us. Queens had 10 shots, 8 on target. So, both keepers kept quite busy, and maybe that's just the slight difference maybe getting more goals. And the fact that, we're finishing maybe just wasn't the up to the standard of, say, what Queens were.
Yeah, as I said, Queens are a full-time team, so they're playing more often than us. That's not an excuse. The chances we created, some of them were good. Especially, as we said, that first 15 minutes, we just couldn't capitalise on it. But you're hoping over the next couple of weeks that that can improve as we go forward.
Viewing the referee, Peter Stewart, I think you used the word fussy on Saturday during the game. It's probably as good a word as any, or a politer word as we could use. Very, as you said, very fussy, very, very stop start. There wasn't just a good flow to the game.
Yeah, some referees are like that. I think he was quite fussy. I mean, he moved a free kick back 5 yards when, it's in the Queen's half and it's them that's taken it. It literally makes no difference, really. Throw-ins as well, a little bit fussy. I don't know whether he just wanted to make his mark in the game or not. I really didn't again. But yeah, I just thought he was a wee bit over fussy. It certain things he didn't need to be. The sort of game you want is free flowing, and you don't really want to be speaking about the referee. But we'll certainly remember the name Peter Stewart the next time he's up, or the next time we've got him in a away game.
I think there was one moment, I think it was the first half. It was quite funny because he wanted Peter to take a free kick 10 yards further back from where he thought it was, but he could clearly see where it was. And then when they go and take it, obviously he wants to move back, so they're going to move it to the spot that the ball's moving, and he doesn't pick that up. You think, well, if you're going to be anal but one thing, you should be picking up that kind of things as well.
He's picked up on it, it's now taken to the right spot, we'll move it back, and then the ball's rolling. So if anything, should be picking up. You're either picking up both of them, or you let it go for 5 yards further along. So yeah, just we got over fussy. Felt it didn't need to be. I felt it, if you let the game flow, I think the players and the managers would appreciate that better rather than the stop start nature that it seemed to be, especially in the first half.
There was one shout for a penalty. I think it was an ambitious shout for a penalty. Jack Brown went through in goal. Mark Scuddy went down to his feet, and I think the keeper does get the ball, but I think that kind of stage of the game where we're sort of clutching at straws just to try and get anything for the referee.
It's not a penalty. It was just finding something to cheer about, really, even if it was shouting at the referee to give us a penalty. It's never a penalty.
Thoughts on the new man then, Prince Anor Asar, Asare, I think is how you pronounce
Prince.
We'll just call him Prince, yeah. Midfielder, 19, Ghanaian heritage. He came in, and I for the amount of time that he's had, obviously, with the team, I thought he did reasonably well.
I think the fact that he's just turned 19 and he's carrying a bit of an injury as well over the last couple of weeks, I thought he did fine. There was one ball, you mentioned it on Saturday, he's doomed by us, and he plays a beautiful pass with the left foot right over at the far end. Really, without thinking about it, he's looked up and he's just pinged a beautiful pass right across the field. So if that's a sign of things to come, I think we've got ourselves a fantastic little player there. And obviously, as I said, he's only 19, he's only got to get better. Just signed on the day as well, so hopefully a couple of training sessions. Obviously, he's carrying a little injury as well, so maybe a couple of weeks before we see him starting. But yeah, early signs are positive from him.
You know, if that's him with an injury, you can imagine how good he could potentially be if he's going to be fully fit. And as you said, it's just going to be about getting his fitness up and just being with the guys, you know, through training and that, and just picking up little bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, it's one of them things where a young player like that, you don't want to rush them, because you could rush them to start a game, then he gets a setback and he's out for a month. So I'd rather we waited, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks before we've thrown him into the deep end, and then obviously we get a good player out of it as well.
So on to your thoughts now then. Plenty of comments on the game, as you can imagine. Quickly go through some of them. Derek Bain, he goes with fitness late on was a big factor, coming up against a full-time team. Need a striker. Ryan Strachan looked good in the middle of the park first half, but we faded out. Going to be a tough season.
Yeah, I agree with all the points, to be honest. Right, so the first thing with fitness, almost to be expected against a full-time team. You know, getting our month and we're playing full-time team, I wouldn't expect the fitness to be as big a problem. It's got to be a long season. Yes, I think we've, you know, if you look at social media and you look at, you know, certain pages, the live with the VAR tip ahead to the bottom, I think there's maybe one or two that I've seen that have tipped us to the ninth. I think the fact that we've lost so many players, and key players as well, not just squad players, but, you know, players that would be the first name on the team sheet as well, I think has not helped. What was the other end? Sorry.
Ryan Strachan playing well in the middle of the park. And a striker's a must.
We mentioned Ryan Strachan, but he was good in the middle of the park, and then when he went to centre-half, the sort of team performance dropped a wee bit. Striker, Jim's identified that he's looking for it. I certainly think it's all I got to get is 10-plus goals this season. I've got massive reservations. Your top goal scorer last season's, by the looks of it, looking like October time, I think last I heard that Jim said could be October time. So, yeah, I mean, the comments are bang on, to be fair. You know, these guys are paying their hard money, you know, hard-earned money as well to see what we're seeing on the pitch. You know, it isn't a lie. There is problems. But, you know, Jim has identified it in the media today. He's come out and said he's looking at players. They're just hoping, even this late in the window, that the quality is still there as well.
Excuse me. Jason Argo said that there's a lot of misplaced passes and aimless punts up the park. We kept the ball well when we were 1-0 up, but we didn't make good use of the possession. And I guess just kind of touching on a point you were picking up earlier on about the sort of discussion you had late on with somebody at the game about, you know, the punts up the park, and are they you know, aimless punts, or is it the fact that, you know, if Ola does win one, is there anybody doing about him to get him?
I think they see Ola as a target man, and yeah, and I agree to a certain extent, but if he wins it, there's nobody running about him. So yeah, at the moment, it is aimless punts of the park, unfortunately. There was, as I mentioned, the header that he'd gone for, obviously he missed it, but had he won it, it's two Queens players that are running back that get it up and then they start an attack again. So yeah, possession the first 50 minutes was decent without really going anywhere. And once Queens got back in it, they never really looked back, fortunately.
Lindsay Finlay, no communication, no teamwork, lacking experienced players. There obviously is experienced players come back in again, like Sir Ryan Strachan. But you know, communication was something we picked up on last week in terms of you know, who's taking the lead, who's, you know, giving the orders, if you like.
I think you've got Ryan Strachan and Jason Brown. I think that's your two more, you know, vocal players. I don't see anybody else really with the expression in them to go and say, right, this is what we need to do. Ryan Down, maybe to an extent. Obviously, he was quite vocal at the free kick that they scored from. So, yeah, you're looking for a wee bit more communication. It doesn't have to necessarily be captain sort of role. You're just looking, I mean, as we've said, we've lost, like, Simon Ferry, Scott Brown. You know, these are key players in the middle of the pitch that would just get something going. So you're looking for that in the team. They really see much of it apart from Jason and Ryan. So, yeah, there is experienced players there that are maybe just lacking a wee bit in terms of that communication skill.
Graham McLean kind of echoing that. Need a voice in the park, too quiet since the experience core have gone. And that's a theme that we're picking up on. Rosemary Cow, need to work on teamwork. Need more training, and the ones that are injured are safe and well. Hope the injured ones are safe and well and back on the pitch. And I think that's another key point as well, is that the guys that are obviously going to be missing, we know Hamish is going to be probably out for the rest of the season, but I think once Andy McCarthy comes back, I think we'll see a difference in terms of a leader maybe in the middle of the park.
Yeah, he is a key player. Just got to touch on the training as well, you know, work on that. It's not an excuse for the part-time team, but training only once a week isn't ideal. You know, we're going to be in for a tough season. And also, these guys have got jobs as well. It's not as easy just to put on an extra training session and have to turn up. It is difficult. But you just think if they were more local, are there certain players that could train together, and, you know, whether it be a couple of midfielders getting together. Yeah, it's a hypothetical. It would be a lot beneficial to the club and the players if they could be more training, but also if they've got jobs and they're part-time, which really doesn't help the cause.
Pesky jobs, isn't it?
It is. It's a faff.
Scott Reid, finally. Scott Reid just picks up on too many mistakes. With passing, Dixon and McDonald playing dangerous at the back a few times made me nervous. I think sometimes as well it made a few folk in the stadium a little bit nervous as well. But I guess that kind of comes back to what we're talking about, that anxiety, just to, you know, not make that a long pass, but they're trying to put a short pass, and it just wasn't working sometimes.
I think sometimes it's that thought of, well, just get the ball further away from our goal. And that sometimes maybe contributes to playing this long diagonal ball that's aimlessly into Ola's area, but not quite till him, and it's a little bit ifs and buts. But yeah, there was a few moments, there's a couple of players that just give you a little bit of the collie wobbles and just thought, well, it's a bit risky. But next week's a new day, a new game.
Just a couple of bits of news. I think you've touched on it already. Rusty's obviously going to be out a little bit longer than expected. Now going to be September, October before he's back, which is obviously going to be a blow to him and to the team as a whole. Andy McCarthy's been delayed as well. He's going to be a couple of weeks before he's back. But start with Rusty's one first. It's going to be September, October before he's back. How quickly can he get his fitness back up after that as well?
Well, he's almost going to have to deal with a pre-season, isn't he? So I think when he does come back, you're looking at least 3 to 4 weeks before you're going to get 90 minutes out of him, if you are. I just wonder whether that changed Jim's thinking in the transfer market as well. If he was thinking he might be back September, could you get by the first couple of league games? He maybe thought, okay, he knew that it's got to be, you know, later than October. That's maybe why we've identified trying to get another striker. When you've got somebody of Rusty's quality, they play in and you lose 15 goals a season, it makes your job a lot harder.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that earlier on as well, about he's identified a defensive midfielder and a striker as well. It's a couple of guys he's been trying to work on. We'll get the paperwork sorted out for a wee while. A lot of red tape. I guess we could blame Brexit for that one, but this is what everybody has to deal with. Now, I guess it's not just a case of just signing a player. There's a lot of hoops we have to go through now.
Yeah, Yeah, it's not your football manager game when you load it up and you sign a player within 4 days. These things take a lot of time nowadays. As you know, Jim said, he's identified it. It's just red tape surrounding it, which makes it a lot harder. And I'm sure these players are keen to get the, you know, the paperwork done. They've said they're going to sign. They're just wanting to get started and get in and help the team. So yeah, hopefully it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so it'll be another interesting week ahead, and hopefully by the Saturday we've got another couple of players in it. You never know, we might be talking about a potential goal on someone's debut. I mean, I'm really being optimistic here, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, hey, I mean, stranger things have happened, but yeah, if we can at least maybe get one in through the door this week, I'm not sure how likely that is or not with the red tape that Jim mentioned, so... But yeah, you look for any positives. If we can get a player in that's going to score a goal, that can be a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Right, as long as it's not just Marks at scoring all the goals, that would be fine. Right, so we asked you for your which players has left and you were most disappointed with. And again, much like last week, there was a bit of a common theme with the one player being mentioned more than most. I'll give you two guesses to how that might be.
I'll have to guess
that
Rory McAllister.
Rory McAllister's name comes up quite a bit. But I'll give you a couple other ones. Peter Bruce, he went with Rory McAllister. Stephen, he also went with Rory McAllister. Sandra Gordon went with Graham Sharp.
Oh, yeah, Sharpie.
Which is one that I was going to mention as well, because I think that more the way he left, in fact, that because obviously we spoke to him 2 years ago now, I think it is. You know, and the fact that the way he left and the way that he almost kind of left things unfinished, if you like. But that's the joys, I guess, of being part-time footballer. If you get a good opportunity elsewhere, you kind of have to take it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate side of part-time footballer. If someone else comes calling, it's better for you and your family, then naturally you're going to take it and, you know, look to progress.
This is an interesting one. Neil Thompson, he's going with Gary Fraser, more because of the way that the club had been with him, you know, being out for a year, the fans, etc. And I think he kind of touches on maybe the loyalty maybe wasn't there for Gary.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good shout, to be honest, because we, you know, when we heard that Gary was leaving, we were probably in the same boat. We thought that he was, there's never a shoo-in to sign for a further season, but we thought that he'd been offered a contract. We thought everything that had gone on and how the club had been, that, hey, there's loyalty as such in football. But you did think that maybe he might have signed on for at least another year and seen if it had happened, but not to be. Unfortunate, but also very frustrating at the same time.
Is it more frustrating or more disappointing that he's dropped down what, two or three levels, I think it is now, to play with Broomhill?
He's certainly a player that can play at a higher level than what he's at. I think that's for sure now. I'm sure that Broomhill FC have got big aspirations. As you can tell by the players that they're signing, they're looking to progress, and I would assume progress pretty quickly. You know, but it's an opportunity that I'm sure Gary felt like he couldn't pass up on. And you know, as we've said, you want players to progress. I just feel like he's a player that's worthy of playing at a higher level than he currently is.
Lee Asselmint, and Scott Wood, Malcolm Oman, they all go with Scott Brown as well. Obviously disappointing that he's left. And you can see there's a hole left in that midfield where he used to be, and we spoke about him being a captain. He was not a vocal leader, but he very much did his football and do the talking.
Yeah, he was a player that wasn't really much of a shouter. He did his talking with the ball at his feet, and yeah, he is probably one of them that when you sit down and think, he's probably one of them that's a bigger loss than you maybe first appear to be. There are certain players, obviously, you've let Rory McAllister his goals. But you think of the work that Scott Brown did. Even when he was having an off game, he was still, at times, a lot better than some of the players that we've had. So, yeah, I mean, as you can see, I identify just in this you know, as Gary Fraser, Scott Brown, these are key players that we've lost and we're trying to rebuild the team from it as well. So yeah, I'm not surprised that Rory McAllister's name's come up a few times.
And they're players that would have been key for us this season. You know, at the tail end of last season, we were obviously going through that good bit of spell, we had good form, and we were thinking, so, right, we can build on this. Gary coming back for his injury, we knew the likes of Simon Ferry was going to be leaving, Ryan Conroy, so there was going to be a place for him in that team.
You mentioned there the players that have left. You also had in the injuries with Hamish Ritchie and Andy McCarthy. Mm. And you see that's the massive hole that we're missing. And yeah, we speak about a spine of a team. You know, you've lost your keepers. Jason Brown's been out with a concussion. You've lost Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Hamish, Andy, and then your striker the last season's out as well. So it is difficult for Jim. I sympathise to an extent with it. But, you know, we do need to go on. We can try and pick up points sooner rather than later.
Okay, so we move on then. We've now got Alloa away this coming weekend. It's, dare I say, it's a basement battle game already. Alloa, they getting off the best of starts. They have got one win so far, three losses. So it's maybe not going to be a classic game, but I think for both teams it's got to be a big game already, even at this early stage.
I think both teams will realise the importance of it. You know, we've said all fair a few times that the teams that we think where it's going to be Clyde and basically I say Edinburgh, that would be Runa Butis, and they're, you know, are much higher up in the table. And already I just think there's a bit of a gap opening up. And I think if we're losing Saturday, you'd have to go five games into the season still looking for your first win. You know, I think Kelty's got to come good at some point as well. And then, again, you're scrambling about thinking we're in for a tough season, which we all know we're going to be. But I think this game, it's a bit early to say it's a six-pointer, but it's certainly, you know, one of them games that you really can't afford to lose.
It was two wins apiece last season. We got the early wins at the beginning, and then obviously Alloa sort of came into their own once Barry Ferguson had left and they managed to pick up a couple of wins. So I would expect it to be fairly tight again, maybe this season between the two.
I don't think Saturday's game's going to be open and pretty football and, you know, knocking about, you know, Barcelona style. I think it's going to be very tight, very compact. I think neither team's really going to want to give up much in terms of their defensive solidity. They'll want to keep it tight. I really wouldn't be surprised if it's got to be a long slogan on Saturday trying to get something out of the game.
Many changes to the starting lineup. Do you think maybe just who plays left wing back might be the only question?
I'm not sure if the situation is with Jason. Obviously, went off with the hour mark. Whether he's going to be okay to come back in. I think there's going to be many changes. To be honest, I think he's probably going to go with as is. The left back, maybe does he bring in Danny Strachan at left back, or is he going to stick with Will Key, or is he going to put McDonald out there? So I don't think there's going to be too much question marks over the team. I also don't think chopping and changing regularly is going to help. So I think he's going to probably go with the same team on Saturday if Jason's fit, to be honest.
And it's interesting that Alloa have only brought in seven players. I say only seven. That was still quite a lot of players, but they're one of the fewest or the teams that have got brought in the fewest in League One. So they've got a core of players that they've managed to hold on to. For last season, maybe one or two have obviously gone. A few loans have ended, but they've got a core there, and I'm surprised that they maybe just haven't kicked on yet. I think they've got. They've been beaten three times already, so it's a case of are they waiting to almost kick on as well?
Well, hopefully they can do it after Saturday, if they do decide to kick on. But from our point of view, that we've got to then go and capitalise. So obviously they've lost three games. Alloa isn't an easy place to go, but go and attack them, be in the front foot. Because we attacked Queens the first quarter of an hour, it will look decent. Obviously it fell by the wayside after that, but if you can go at them, and here go, because you can sit back all day long and try and hadoop for something, but go and attack them, see what we can do, maybe catch them a wee bit off guard as well. Certainly, I think we've got to be doing there. It sounds like a positive mindset, because you can get bogged down with the negativity of it. Go down there, here go at them, and see if they can promote it.
Yeah, if you remember the 4-2 it was beginning of the season, I think we went down there, we weren't playing well, we weren't getting a lot of points, and all of a sudden we can go down there and not only get 3 points, but we managed to score 4 goals, and all of a sudden the momentum then changes. This could be the same again.
Yeah, until we get our first win, you're looking at every game thinking it could be our turning point. But Alloa aren't, they're not winning games, a bit like ourselves. So, I mean, it's going to be two teams. I think it's going to be a long slog on Saturday trying to get everything for the game. I think it's going to be pretty, but I certainly think we should be going there, certainly looking to get 3 points.
Score prediction then?
As I said, I think it'll be pretty 1-0. Yeah, I'll probably, maybe even a set piece. Like I said, I think it's got to be a scrappy game, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's a set piece. Something just comes off for us.
That's maybe all we're looking for, is just something to...
A bit of luck.
Just a bit of luck. Just something to turn the tide slightly and just get back up the road with that 3 points, really.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure that as much as the fans are, like myself, frustrated and disappointed, the players are equally so, if not more. These are the guys that are training as well. They're coming on the pitch on a Saturday, and it's just not quite working out for them. They came for the win today, it's just not quite working. So they'll be desperate to put things right as well and get the 3 points and come back up the road.
Yeah, because as you said, the last thing you want to do is go 5 without a win. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on what Kelty do as well, because if they get a point or get a win, suddenly that we'll then hit the bottom of the table.
I think it's also, you've mentioned a few times in over the seasons that Jim looks to break up the season in blocks. You know, and after your 9 games, you're looking for the points. At the moment, we're not quite on schedule to get it. So I'm not sure whether how big a concern that would be. We've been the first block. We can normally try and start the season well, but hopefully we can start winning games on Saturday.
Okay, so you heard our comments there about this coming weekend's game against Alloa. Time now, I guess, to get the Alloa perspective. I'm now joined by Kieran from the Wasp Nest podcast. Kieran, welcome along to the Blue Team podcast. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Good to get a opposition's perspective. So, Alloa, second season in League One, I guess probably disappointment for last season. So, what was the expectations coming into this season, this time round?
Definitely an improvement on last season would be a starter. As bad as the whole season was last year, we finished quite strong, and we were only, I think it was 5 points off of Queen's Park in the playoffs. And despite the league getting a lot stronger in the summer, I definitely think the minimum that Alloa, with the core that we kept on, should be aiming for the promotion playoffs. So I think that's the expectation of all the Alloa fans, is to be up there fighting in the top four.
Were you maybe overly or did you underestimate maybe how tough League One was going to be last season?
I don't think so. To be honest, I think maybe potentially some fans. I don't think I did. We've been punching above our weight being in the Championship, and I think League One is probably our level. So when we were coming down into it, we did have a big budget. We blew 90% of that budget on players that we shouldn't have. We should have done a lot better than we did. But I definitely don't think we underestimated it. I think the reason why last season was a disaster starts and ends in one man, and that's Barry Ferguson. So... no, I don't think it was an underestimation, because we definitely don't come into this league last year thinking we were better than anyone else. This is probably our level, and getting into the Championship is a peak for us and punching above our weight.
You mentioned that you've kept the core of last season's squad. You've only got or brought in 7 players this season so far. I think only Montrose and Dunfermline have brought in less. So was that key in trying to keep that core?
I think it's two different things there. Like, the keeping the core of the team was massive. This is a core that have served us so well. The likes of Taggart, Scougal, Robertson, Dernan, that you're not going to get many better pound for pound at part-time level, so brilliant to keep a hold of those. But there was big recruitment needed. We lost a lot of players in the summer with the loans that we had, So we needed to sign players, and I think you've seen this season that the lack of signings is affecting us. Our starting 11 is okay, maybe not as strong as it could be, but our options off the bench are just not what they should be at this level. It's kind of untested, untried youngsters, and that's really hurting us so far. I wouldn't be surprised to see some new faces before the Peterhead game. Manager hinted at it, but I think, I would hope, you know, we're far from done in this window, because despite signing the core of the team, we do need to strengthen the depth a little bit.
So this season, it's one win, three defeats. How's it the team looking so far?
Mixed bag, to be honest. It's definitely, I think the biggest disappointment would have been that Edinburgh City game. We saw some, you know, major gaping holes in that team and some problems and teething issues. We do lack goals, which is the big problem just now. Salmon and McKeever are unorthodox strikers, shall we say. They do a job that is so effective if you've got a goal scorer playing up next to them, like a Ewan Henderson that we had last season, who despite not scoring for months still ended up on 18 goals for the season. So yeah, there's some concerns with the Alloa fans, to put it lightly. I don't think we're at panic stations yet. I think I've seen enough that, you know, we will be fine. We need to add to it, because only winning against Celtic isn't that strong a start, and it just makes this Saturday, and I'm sure you guys will be exactly the same, so important.
Yeah, it's turned out to be a battle at the bottom end already, and I don't think either of us would have expected it this early on in the season anyway.
No, I don't think so. It's like, you look at these games, and we had back-to-back home games against Celtic and Edinburgh, and then obviously yourself is the next home game, and the Alloa fans are talking about it as in, these are massive games that we've got to win, and we're not even out of August yet. So the football just comes at you thick and fast, and the big games get earlier and earlier, and it feels like we've already been playing for half a season, to be honest. But yeah, it's Saturday's massive for both teams, but I think from an Alloa perspective, off the back of two really disappointing defeats, playing against Peterhead at home, you know, there's a lot of, you know, pressure on the players already to get some points on the board.
It was two wins apiece last season for either side. Are you expecting it to be similar kind of results again this season, fairly tight?
Yeah, I think so. Like, this league is ridiculously tight. We started at Dunfermline in the first game of the season. That really could have gone either way, and they're supposedly meant to be, you know, the walk-away favourites, so coming up against Peterhead, I don't think it will be any different. Going up to Peterhead's always a really hard game for us. We tend to struggle, but the home game will be similar, no doubt. I would hope that we could potentially get a victory, but yeah, I would say it's two fairly evenly matched teams. The table would suggest that as well. I'd probably class Alloa slight favourites, but say that we can walk over any team in this division, so no, absolutely, it's going to be an even game.
Who's the players or player or players that we should be watching out for then?
I would probably say if Stefan Skugo is, you know, a class act in this division and probably above as well. I think that, you know, the worry with Skugs and the disappointment is his injury record. Once you've got him fit, he's, you know, unplayable at times. The things he does with the ball is just unbelievable. And on like a decent Astral Park like Alloa, he's really got a nice flair to his game. Missed out against Airdrie through injury. The two previous games to that against Edinburgh and Celtic, he didn't finish the game through two separate injuries. And that's kind of been the story of his career. So it's, will he be fit? Won't he? Like, that's, to be honest, it's a problem that could define Alloa's season. But if he plays, you know, he's one of the best players in the league, in my opinion, if he's fit and if he plays. So that would probably be my one to watch.
Okay, finally then, you want to give us a score prediction?
I really don't know, because we've been licking goals and we've not been scoring goals, to be honest. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it could be like a 3-1 or a 3-2. I'll back Alloa, but I'll go 3-2 Alloa because I really think this could be like ding dong, up down, like every attack might go in. It's just, I think it could be one of those crazy games. So I'll go 3-2 Alloa.
Leaking goals and locking the goals at the other end sounds a bit familiar to us as well.
No, it's not a nice problem to have.
No, it certainly is. Kieran, thanks very much for coming on. Thanks for your time. We'll watch the game on Saturday with interest, of course. And we'll maybe catch up with you again at some point during the season.
I appreciate you having me on. Cheers. Thanks very much. All the best.
No problem. Thanks. So that is it for our show for this week. Thank you once again to Kieran from the Wasp's Nest podcast for coming on and to Martin Smith for being here as usual. Thank you to everyone who got in touch this week and as ever for continuing to support and listen to the podcast. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.